I'm sure you've seen a number of road movies, but I'm also sure you've never seen a road movie quite like Shaun of Festa's Boundaries. For one thing, it stars the remarkable Vera Farmiga as a single mom who sets off with her teenage son and rascal of a father on one trip, but another kind ensues. And for the other thing, it also stars Peter Fonda, who has a crucial role as another kind of rascal. And both rascals share an affinity for weed. Boundaries opens on Friday the 22nd at the Angelica and the Paris Theaters, and it's my very good fortune to be joined by all three of them right now. Welcome, Shauna, Vera, and Peter.
Thank you.
Shauna, I know the story is semi-autobiographical. What does that mean exactly? And that obviously means how much of it is true.
You know, it's surprising to say, but most of it is true. My father was in and out of prison most of my life for nonviolent crimes, mostly trafficking marijuana. And we had a really complicated relationship. He was incredibly charismatic. He's been married 6 times, 6 kids with all different wives. And he was kind of in and out of my life. And when he was in my life, it was the most amazing, kind of beautiful moment. And then when he left, it just created this huge hole. So when he did leave, it was hard for me as a kid to kind of express that anger. And because every time he came back into my life, I just wanted it to be happy and a good experience and a good time. But as I grew older, I started to realize that this anger was real, and I had to find some way to express it. So writing this script was actually incredibly cathartic for me.
I mean, often I feel like, you know, when people first create their first work of art, they usually make that one autobiography. Mm-hmm. Autobiographical, just because it's what they know. And this is your fourth film.
Yeah.
Was it easier for maybe the first three films to be who you are through characters? And this is actually the one that takes the mask off.
Well, I think my first film was about grief, and my father lost a son before I was born. And so that was my way to explore grief. And then I did 2 studio films, and I felt like I was kind of losing my voice as a filmmaker again. Mm. So I really wanted to go back to making something personal, because when you're promoting, when you're here, when you're spending 2 years of your life working on something, it has to be the most important thing to you, because I have 3 kids and a beautiful family. Mm. And for me to be away from my family, you want to work on things that really matter. And so for me, making a film about my father, about rescuing animals, even about marijuana.
Right.
Really important things to me.
Could you have imagined making this film earlier in your career, or did it have to be now?
I feel like I had to get to the point with my father where I saw him for who he really was to write this script. And that took me till I was 40 years old to do.
Vera, is it easier to not know, since this is semi-autobiographical, is it easier to not know the person who you're kind of portraying? Like, knowing Shauna, does that affect your portrayal? Do you like to start from scratch without any kind of preconceived notion?
So get this. I didn't know that I was portraying Shauna.
Oh, that makes it easier. Yeah.
Until her husband, the producer,
right,
tipped me off.
Right.
And then we had gotten most of it in the can by that time.
Do you judge? I mean, knowing that, you know, when you're playing a character, and Laura certainly has made a lot of bad choices in her life. I don't know if I want to say that, but I did say that. But do you judge the characters you play?
No. I think we all, in Laura's defense, because like a court-appointed attorney,
right.
To her defense. No, I think that Laura has always made the choices that she thought were right at the time.
Right.
And I try not to. I try to figure out their motivation. I try to figure out their psychic angst, where the pain is stemming from. I always try to think about, how is this character persevering? What are they yearning for? What are they striving for? And so I try to look through it always in an optimistic lens. No matter how destitute or
empathy
dark.
Is so crucial in your portrayal. Yeah. For you know, this is obviously a small budget film. How hard was it to get it greenlit, to have it made, and also how did you get the amazing cast that you did get in this film?
Well, I think, you know, Vera and Chris Plummer were major draws for the cast, you know. So once we secured Vera and Chris, we were able to attract other icons, one who is sitting to the right of me right now. And, you know, it was a low-budget picture, and I probably did everything that you should not do when making a low-budget picture, like include 10 animals and two Rolls Royces that were breaking down all the time and work with a miner from Scotland and all of those things that I, you know, my producer slash husband was, you know, so frustrated with. But then when you see the final film, I'm so glad I made all of those bad decisions as a filmmaker.
Is there a rule to not work with miners from Scotland?
Well, you know, when you're on a low-budget film and you can't afford a dialect coach and you have to get a visa for him and there's all these incredible American young actors that are just dying to be in your movie.
Another immigrant takes another job.
There you go. Yeah. You know.
How does it feel like to be called an icon, Peter?
I just let it fly right out of my head. Because, you know, I know who I am.
Right.
I know Nikon. Icon. You know, listening to what Vera said and to what Shana said, too, I'm with Vera totally. I don't want to judge my character because I have to be that character.
Right.
You know, in other words, I might play a total creep, but inside me, I don't think I'm a total creep. I'm just doing these things as what I want to do, that they're very creepy makes it work. But if I judge that person, it's going to be a terrible battle in my mind to try to seem nice through all this rather than be the character.
Right.
And I like doing the different characters. This character, I went in with one idea and I've come out and realized that I could say anything about what I do. So today what I've done is I'm one of the finest engravers in the world, and my specialty is $20 and $50 bills. It's been a very successful life for me. You know, oh sure, I'll buy some pot from. It's great to see you, pal. And, you know, oh, absolutely. You know, that's the way it works.
His inner life is still going.
I'm still like kind of
this is a road movie. Years. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah,
and I know road movies. And I don't mind in this road movie being one of the campfires. I think it's, you know,
so
you
well
have
said.
To stop and talk about what's going on and what's happening. You need some other connection. I've seen very successful road movies where you just are in one vehicle and you do that all about that. That has its own line of storytelling. This is different. And Shana's, you know, developed these wonderful characters that I thought, well, this is very funny. Maybe that's me because I'm rather sick. But I do really, really good $20 bills and $50 bills. Sick, but, you know, handy. I get to be a part of this. That's cool.
Yeah.
I get to work with Vera Farmiga. Far out. It's a first. We like this. Yeah. I've known Chris since I was 18 years old. I get to work with him. Terrific. And then I thought, wow, in this road movie, Vera, or it's Laura, driving Jack around and her son and trying to get straight, trying to set boundaries. You can't be doing this. Jack gets kicked out of his senior living place because he's dealing pot to the old people, which is cool in my mind because I'm an engraver, you know.
Right.
And I'm saying this just to get on shot.
I love it.
I was originally a very well-to-do actor. But now I can be anything.
Your Wikipedia is being changed in real time, by the
way. Yeah. You know, because I have known Christopher since I was 18. I was able to do that and make that part of this dynamic that worked on film. I've admired Vera's work for a long time. And so, wow, I get to work with her. This is terrific. I love dogs. And to what Shana said, we look at it, interior night in a car with the child and the animal and the rain. Those are the must-not-dos. Because the young directors don't want to do in the car with the child, with an animal, in the night, in the rain. We just do 360-degree pans. That's new directors will always want to do 360s for some reason. Dennis did one that was one in and out. Other ones do it different directions. But yeah, it's interior of a car at night with a kid and an animal and the rain. Those are no-nos.
We did them all, though.
The movie.
However, do you know something? Interior car at night in the rain with a kid and with the animals. It's a perfect cover of a guy who's pushing forgeries, you know, counterfeit money.
I'm Hari Kondabolu, and I'm speaking with Vera Farmiga and Peter Fonda about starring in their new film, Boundaries, along with writer-director Shauna Festa. Shauna, there's a lot of dogs in this film.
Yes.
Is that based in reality? I mean, did you actually, or do you still collect strays?
I do. You know, I'm what they call a bottle feeder. So when the local shelters get orphaned little kittens and puppies, they call the bottle feeders, and we come in and we, you know, take these little guys, and I usually put them in my shower. So every time my husband comes home, he goes to take a shower, he sees there's a new litter of kittens or puppies in it. And I, you know, feed them every 2 hours, because at the shelter they'll be put down because no one has the manpower to do something like that. So yes, rescuing animals is in my blood. I've been doing it for a long time. And this was also a way to shine a light on something that I care deeply about. My dog's in the movie.
That's your actual dog?
Oh, yeah. She's out there, out front. You can't, yeah.
Well, what happened? Wait, so where are the rest of the animals if you're here right now?
Well, they're not all mine, because we shot in Vancouver. So we had to, I didn't want any of the beautiful purebreds, you know, the ones that you always see in the movies that could do backflips and things like that. I wanted the scruffy ones that were all missing something that would make them cuter, whether it's fur or eyes or legs or whatever. So we got all the scrappy looking dogs in our film.
Dog diversity is important.
Exactly.
Peter, you were a drug dealer in the iconic Easy Rider, and in the Victor Nunez movie, Yuli's Gold, you play an older gentleman, a father who had to deal drugs, and...
And a grandfather.
And a grandfather in this film.
Jessica Biel was my oldest granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. And Yuli's Gold.
Yeah.
That's right. In a way, viewers might look at Joey as your earlier characters grown up. Do you see that?
Oh, I have. I don't think I'll ever grow up. I discovered the secret to my life is being 8 years old. Mm. An 8-year-old is very happy being 8-year old. A 9-year-old wants 2 digits, 10. A 10-year-old wants 13. But the 8-year-old is right in the moment. Now the 78-year-old cashes the checks. But an 8-year-old goes out and is a forger, an artist, a very wealthy actor, some guy who made a killing with cocaine, and now he's, you know, whatever. Or I sell overpriced drugs for old people that are dying. It's the only thing that will save them. And meantime, I'm the 8-year-old being able to do all that without any expectation. And as I say, the 7-8-year-old cashes the checks. I like being the 8-year-old because that's in the moment. And although I have responsibilities in life, no 8-year-old realizes this is the second most important fuel for the human body, which you can't see, microphone, but I'm holding up a bottle of water.
He drinks so much water. And this is, you guys can't see, but Peter Fonda looks amazing. And now we have realized it is because he constantly is chugging gallons of water a day.
I don't think anyone expected that information during this interview. And that is something that might have changed multiple lives.
We're just hanging our fingernails with the forager apart. Like, what? Why did he say that?
You got to work with Christopher Plummer in this film. He plays an unrepentant drug dealer who has bedeviled Laura her whole life. What was it like, Shauna, when he agreed to play this role?
Oh my gosh, I was so nervous. I mean, I remember our first conversation, and the whole time I was on my phone, I had just dropped off my kids at school, and I'm just thinking, don't mess this up. Like, just don't say anything stupid. And I was so, so nervous, and I don't get nervous a lot. But he's so lovely and kind, and he's such a gentleman, and he's so classy that he just made everything so much easier. But there was a day on set when Peter Fonda, Christopher Plummer, Christopher Lloyd were all there on the exact same day. It was like looking at three unicorns all at once, and they were sitting on director's chairs, and every single person on set got out their cell phone, was like very trying to be covert, taking their picture, because this was a once-in-a-lifetime photo.
I would have done a Doc Brown impression every day.
Oh, yeah, you were one of those.
Yeah, I was definitely one of those. What was it like, Vera, to work with Christopher Plummer, and how much did you ad-lib or improvise during rehearsals?
You know, I don't let the starched button-downs and that fancy schmancy aura fool you. He is a goofball of the highest order. He's an absolute clown. And to be honest with you, I am a tremendous fan. I couldn't wait. Shauna... I couldn't believe it when she told me it would be Christopher Plummer, and to be honest, I just couldn't wait to wrestle him and get in the ring. And there, you know, the script was so tight, And so there was always the freedom to improvise should an opportunity come up, which is something that is inevitably going to happen with five or six animals in the car.
Right.
You never know when you're going to get a French kiss from Loretta.
Right, right.
Loretta, she likes to slip you sometimes.
Yes, she does.
I'm Hari Kondabolu. I'm speaking with Vera Farmiga and Peter Fonda, but starring in their new film Boundaries along with writer-director. Welcome back to Midday. I'm Hari Kondabolu, and I'm speaking with Vera Farmiga and Peter Fonda, but starring in their new film Boundaries along with writer-director Shauna Festa. We were talking about working with Christopher Plummer before the break. Peter, you've worked with you had an incredible scene with Christopher. It was a scene that had great intimacy. How did you achieve that? I mean, how long have you known Christopher? I know that his first film was actually with your father, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's when I met him. So I knew him when I was 17 and 18. We did not hang out with each other. However, he was a friend and knew my first stepmother, who is still alive and whom I adore. And that kept me in the loop of him as a person of my background. But I just used that when I worked with him because I've known him. You know, I know about him. It was familiar. And I could bring that to the scene. And he's a very charming guy.
Right.
You know, when you get right with him, he's extraordinarily charming. I knew he had a reputation for flipping out as a Shakespearean actor, but, you know, it didn't happen to us.
Right.
And the way I looked at this, the script was fabulous. It was a fun read. It was a great thing. I was all for it. I couldn't wait to meet Shauna. I was, as I said, interested. I get to work with Vera Farmiga. This is far out. And I realized that what we're doing here in this, the third level of identification is, here is a man that I consider the finest Shakespearean director in the Americas, stage and screen, doesn't matter. And so here he is, this finest Shakespearean actor in the Americas, dealing pot to Easy Rider. That is so bloody funny. You know, I can have fun with this. I like doing fun.
Right.
Nobody ever asks me to do comedies. They expect me to do something else. Right. But I love comedies. And this script, you know, everybody said, what was it? The script. Then the Tasty Tops. Whoa, I get to work with Vera Farmiga and Christopher Plummer. And I don't get to work with Christopher Lloyd, but it seems like it because we're in the same film.
Right.
You know, so I'll take all of it. I love it all.
Shauna, was it intimidating directing Christopher Plummer?
Of course. You know, whenever I'm working with actors like Christopher Plummer, you always think as a director, should I even direct him? Should I just let him do what he does best? Am I just going to get in the way? But he's incredibly collaborative. So he made it so easy, right? We just it was fun. And, you know, it was important to me. I never wanted him to feel like, oh, would your dad do this? Is this how your dad, you know, we didn't really talk about my father at all, because why I cast him is he had that same kind of twinkle, that mischievous twinkle in his eye that my dad had. And that's all I needed. That's all I needed.
Someone that it was hard to say no to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know, you wouldn't judge, because a lot of, you know, his behavior, you could judge a man like that.
Right.
And that's what was so difficult about my dad, is that I loved him so intensely, but he was, you know, a rascal most of the time.
Rascal is the right word, right?
I think so.
Okay, good, good.
I love the word. I'm going to use that often. Yeah. And I'll give you credit.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to use far out now, from now on.
Your character, Laura, is emotionally frazzled. She's hamstrung by money problems. She's obsessed with rescuing pets. Did you know women like Laura? Where did you draw your inspiration for the character?
You know, I think all of us, at some point, you know, this is what I connected with, was the very simple message of the story, which is it's a story about confronting our parents with the truth, and we all have parents. And, you know, and sometimes it takes us, you know, a couple of years, sometimes it takes us 44 years to be able to look at our child history and stand back and look at our parents in the backdrop of reality and see them for who they are. And I suppose we can all connect to that. And that was, it was just something very, that I felt hurt, how personal it was to Shauna, but it's also very deeply personal to me.
Shauna, what were you looking for in the role of Henry, Laura's 12-year-old son? And it's shocking that he's Scottish.
Yeah.
The actor is Scottish. Yeah. I mean, is it Lewis McDougall?
Yes.
Because there was no indication of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's so talented. I would try and say one sentence in a Scottish accent, and it would sound absolutely horrible. he is pretty remarkable. You know, I love working with young actors. That's one of my favorite things about directing. And casting him, I knew I needed to find an old soul. I needed to find a kid who had lived, you know, lived a harder life, that, you know, was had a intelligence and a sadness in his eyes. And that was something that I saw when Lewis sent us, you know, I cast him without meeting him in person. Huh. I had only cast him by a Skype tape. We did a few tapes on Skype and I talked to him, but I had never actually met him in person. So it was a huge risk that I was taking. But I was so taken with Lewis's eyes. He has these just beautiful, brown, soulful eyes. And also, there was a big fear of mine that this could be kind of like, you know, one of those kids on Barney's that, like, does a jazz hands, right, like that kind of, like, very cute performances.
Right.
And I was so terrified of that. So Lewis does such a lovely job just really grounding the performance in reality.
I'm shocked first of all, I'm shocked that someone got cast off Skype, mm-hmm. and also that you got good Skype reception.
Like that. We didn't. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
But his eyes were that powerful.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
You know, this being a road movie, were you worried about weather? I mean, there's just so many factors that come into play since it's shot outside. I mean, how did you deal with that? Were you nervous? How did you do the scouting?
Well, you know, The worst part of it was that Rolls Royce. You know, I had it in my head that my father had lost a Rolls Royce in a poker game. And so I kind of, and once Christopher Plummer was cast, you know, I did make some adjustments because my father was driving this old, you know, white cargo van, which I think just, you know, you just see that and you think a pedophile anyway. So I knew I could not have him driving that. So I wanted to make it something that I thought, you know, Christopher could have driven in the good old days. So we got these beautiful two Rolls Royces that we painted gold. And that was just a very bad decision on my part. I mean, those things broke down constantly. And we shot it in Vancouver, and we were trying to match, you know, the coastal drive. I did that drive when I was a kid, but it was from Los Angeles to El Paso, Texas with my dad, which is a very uncinematic drive. Mm-hmm. So.
I would imagine.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you get everything you wanted? Did you get every shot you wanted?
We did, because then we, you know, after we all wrapped, we just got back in that car and drove down the coast with a camera and got all the shots that we needed. Stole all the shots we needed.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And it's true. Did you have a largely female crew? Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, it was very important to me to work with as many women as possible, especially, you know, my cinematographer, Sara Mashara, is incredibly talented. And she was the first female cinematographer that I've ever worked with. And we had such an incredible collaboration. It was really nice. It was really nice working with her.
Do you often find...
She was great. Your whole crew, they were great. I don't want to separate them from the cast. Mm-hmm. The whole company was good.
Good. Thank you.
How often do you get that level of freedom? Is it really on independent films?
Yes, completely.
Because otherwise it would be the numbers, the
you
breakdown.
You have approvals.
Would be, right.
Well, yeah, you know, is this person, could I get them approved?
Right.
And as talented as Sara is, she doesn't have any huge studio films on her resume yet. She should. So I don't even know if I would have been able to get her approved on a studio film.
So you just had faith. You knew her work and that was that.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Vera, the script makes important points about economic disparity, about bullying in school, about pets. Mm-hmm. You can't say the same about another mother you've played on TV, Norma Lewis-Bates. Mm. I'm curious about what makes you accept a role. Also, you found a niche of sorts in horror. You've been in two Conjuring movies and in Bates Motel. Mm-hmm. Is there another area you'd like to explore? And why horror? Why has horror become a thing?
I didn't see Bates as a horror.
Okay.
I saw it as a story where horrifying things happen to real people. I think the only real horror film I've done is the Conjuring franchise. Even Orphan was based on a true story about a woman pretending to be a child,
right,
that makes her way into adopting herself into a family. And I think the woman was Eastern European.
That is so terrifying.
And that's horrifying, but yeah, it's a true story. I mean, the only, you know, it's where there's ghouls and goblins and demons is the Conjuring franchise. But I as far as Bates and sort of the thematic of, I just love putting the fun in dysfunction. We're all so dysfunctional. We're just trying to figure out, human beings are trying to figure out how to be more human. I love having a good chuckle and guffaw about really dark things.
You directed Higher Ground in 2011. Could you imagine directing again?
I could. There's nothing on my roster. There's just, I haven't found the right story to tell. I prefer being directed. Mm-hmm. But when I find that the story that I think I can apply my own unique voice, and I will.
I read that you were discovered acting through a misadventure. You discovered acting, I should say, through a misadventure through soccer. Is that right?
Okay. Yes, I did. I was benched on varsity soccer junior year of high school. And forlorn, heartbroken. I had my first big heartbreak. I was benched because I think my health papers didn't clear or something. It was a lame excuse. But I was just heartbroken and bored. And my best friend came along and he's like, try out for the school play. And I'm not going to try out for the school play. He's like, try out for the school play. And it was a melodrama called The Vampire. And I got the lead role. And I had a lot of fun doing it, but still didn't anticipate like this would be a career path. I thought I was going to go to Villanova and study optometry and become an ophthalmologist. And
have own.
That was my plan. That was my 10-year plan.
That's now out of the picture, I'd imagine.
I still think that what I do is curing forms of myopia.
Oh, there you go.
I was encouraged to do it. It's not something that it was an impulse for me. It was the teachers who said, you should think about this. Hmm. And that was really powerful for me to be ushered in a certain direction. It wasn't my idea.
My parents would have hated those teachers so much. They would have hated them. Peter, you've been working a lot recently. Is that a conscious decision or is it something that just happens? Like you find scripts you like and sometimes you just don't for a while.
Yeah, exactly. You find you get work and then you don't get work and you don't always get the work you want. But I'm very fortunate. There's no mandatory retirement age for an actor.
Right.
And actors can work on stage and film and television and be the same, doing the same gig. Well, on stage is a different kind of a gig. But yeah, I like working. It's much more than just trying to make money. It's trying to keep my heart young.
Right.
It's feeding the 8-year-old, you know, and it works. The 8-year-old loves protein smoothies, bananas, and, you know, it's great. I'm fortunate. I have a couple of goals in life. One is to, and at the end of my life, have all my own teeth in my head.
Right.
Because at a certain moment, a tooth is more valuable than the largest diamond in the world. And I want to hear, all right, cut. Let's wrap on this scene. It's a wrap on the film. Thud. What happened to Fonda? As long as it's a wrap on the film, right?
Right.
Wrap the character. But are the curtain drops? I drop and I don't get back up.
You did the Western, The Ballad of Lefty Brown with Bill Pullman, and then you reunited with Bruce Dern in Borderland. I can't even imagine the stories you and Bruce Dern have to share.
Can't either.
They're hysterical.
Working in films like The Wild Angels and The Trip.
Yeah.
I mean, could you share one on public radio?
The things that water does to images underneath the water. And I was naked in the pool, so you can take it from there. Also, in The Trip, one of the things, it was Jack Nicholson wrote that script. Unfortunately, Roger Corman didn't direct the script that Nicholson brilliantly wrote, but there was enough in there. One of my highlights was being brought into this room by Bruce Dern. He says, let's go in the living room. Of course, I'm wrecked on acid, so it's, for me, it's a living room. Wow. living room. So I had fun. And I was promoting the trip and signing autographs for the Wild Angels when I came up with the idea with Easy Rider. And it was in Toronto, Canada, at a very seedy motel. You never know where it's going to happen.
Huh.
And it took me about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. I thought of the characters first. I thought of the ending second. I thought, that'll shake the cage. Then I backed up to make that ending work.
Huh.
And, so you never know.
In 3.5 hours.
In 3.5 hours. Then I called Hopper and hired him. He didn't like that I hired him. But the news is, because I did that then, look what I can do now. I get asked because they think I'm an icon. I'm not. I'm an 8-year-old, you know. It just seems weird. But I like to work. So getting to work in a wonderful, and a comedy. I don't get cast in comedies all the time. So Shana wrote a great comedy. Vera is a good actor, and she's great at comedy. And she started on stage, so I'm getting more familiar. This works for me. Christopher is good at comedy. He started on stage. I like this. This is comfortable. Now let's see what Shana wants. And her, as I said, the company that she ran was so smooth and so wonderful to work for. I don't know if I'll get that opportunity again to work with those actors, this kind of director, her kind of company, and this fabulous script.
You play a...
And a dog that gives you tongue.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, you play a roguish father in this movie. How were you as a father?
I was a bit different. But I was a lot different.
Yeah,
a bit different. But I took time when I wasn't working. I was home. I was home all the time. So I saw my kids a lot. And I left the land and went to live on an 82-foot wooden catch when I was 30. And I had to bring my kids when I could get them. But in 1980, which was Bridget's 16th year, her mother called me. She said, you know, you have to do something special with Bridget. And I thought, well, acting and making a movie is pretty special. Not a lot of people get to do that, but it's really boring if you're not in it. You hear, that was perfect, we'll do it again. If it was perfect, why do it again? That kind of stuff. It's just, we call them civilians. If they're not in our universe, they just don't get it.
Yeah.
But I did something very special. I did what very few people, 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10 and so forth, percent of the people on the earth ever have done or ever will do. I travel across vast amounts of water simply because I want to. I'm not claiming land for the queen. I'm not bringing little Jimmy, who got his foot caught in a giant clam, the antidote to the poison or whatever the trip is. I'm just going sailing. And so I took Bridget on this crossing from Los Angeles to Hawaii to Maui. And then she got to see what happened when Dad went over the horizon. You know? And she said it that way too. Now this is what you do. I said, yeah, ain't it cool?
Before we go, what's the next project for each of you?
I have several films coming out. I've reunited with Jason Reitman on the Gary Hart story.
Wow.
Playing Lee Hart. So we're examining that piece of history. Skin, directed by Guy Nateve, starring Jamie Bell. I play the female elder of a violent racist skinhead group. And it's the true story of Brian Widener, who fell into that cult of hate, and his awakening and emergence out of it.
So all comedies.
Dysfunction, I guess. and then there's Godzilla in about a year coming out.
There you go.
With Millie Bobby Brown, awesome. Directed by Michael Dougherty.
Shana?
Wow, I don't want to follow that.
Okay.
I'm just working on promoting this film and getting this out into the public eye, which is really exciting for me. Feels good.
And Peter, when are you dropping dead at the end of a movie?
Oh, jeepers. I hope not for at least 3 or 4 months. Well, although, you know, he's still out of the country. Maybe I can still party. That's cryptic. Maybe not. Nevertheless, yeah, I have a film coming out. I'm not sure when. It is with independent films. So this was a $24 million independent film called The Last Full Measure with Samuel Jackson, myself, Sebastian Stan, Bill Hurt, Amy Madigan. Good cast.
Yeah.
Ed Harris, and it's a true story about a Medal of Honor winner, only it's given to him posthumously. And Christopher Plummer plays his father, and we had just finished working together in Boundaries, I came up and I said, Christopher, we have to keep meeting like this. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it means we're working, dude. Right.
Thank you all for joining us again today.
Thank you. Thank
really,
you.
It was lovely. I'm Hari Kondabolu. I've been speaking with Vera Farmiga and Peter Fonda about starring in their new film, Boundaries, along with writer-director Shauna Festa.